Friday evening, that's right. Yeah. Okay, a little girl named Stella. Yeah, absolutely beautiful. Yeah. Okay, let's begin taking a look at the scripture for today and what we want to be looking at. And of course, as you remember, we're doing some things that produce within us habits where we are in a lifestyle that is what you might call missional, that is not only focused on God and each other, but those around us, that kind of three-part balance that's going on. And we've been looking at various kind of habits to develop, one habit each week during Lent. And we started with blessing other people, then eating with other people, then listening to the Spirit and listening to other people, learning about Jesus. And today we're going to look at what it is to be sent. But before we get into that, I want to just have you share a little bit. How have these things been going? You know, last week we looked at learning. Were you able to add anything like that? Of course, we're exempting Richard and Hetty because of, family things that have happened. But the rest of you, how have these things been going? Any stories from the past week or any time during Lent, actually, that you didn't get to share? I was hoping you would share it out loud at this time, in this room at this time, right? Larry. I knew you had one. I knew it. I was going to stare you down until you did it. Excellent. All right. Wonderful. Great. Thank you, Larry. Any others? I know you want to be developing a secret history with God. I understand that. So we'll let you. What? Okay. Yeah.
So doing a little more reading today.
Yeah. Excellent. Right. And then some of you have taken advantage of Richmond Hill's offerings over the years. Very, very fine place. So I highly recommend that. Well, let me fill you in on how it's gone for me. Friday, we moved recently and I go to a different Y than I used to. So I made some new friends there and got to talk with a young man that I've gotten to know there. A little beyond the surface and just say, well, okay, what are you studying? And that just blessed him like you wouldn't believe it. He was, well, maybe you would, but he was really blessed by that and going deeper into that conversation. And then on Wednesday morning, I actually took Richard. Richard and I went to a network meeting, a small group of pastors through the Richmond area and church leaders who are finding new ways to find the assets in their neighborhood and what's going on there and for church to relate that way. And we all ate together, and we were open then to each other in such a way. And I don't know if you realized it, Richard, but one of those church leaders there is not a Christian, because it's not a Christian church that they're with. Yeah, it's the Unitarian Universalist Church is very specific about we are not a Christian church. Okay, that's fine. So we're eating with someone who's not a Christian. It was great. We had a great time, shared openly. It was wonderful. And then the listening part, God just kind of opened me up. I had a short 1 second dream one night. Just bang, this picture, bam. While I was asleep, it was the door to our bedroom was open and the hall light was on. Just saw that picture in a dream. And it was so vivid, I thought I was awake. But I found that I wasn't awake when I woke up. And when I woke up, whoa. So I'm not sure what all that was about, but I was at least listening. You'll find, too, when God gives you dreams, you're in a position to listen and not really talk back to God or anything because you're sound asleep. God will take advantage of that in your life sometimes. And then with the learning part, there were two things that happened. Let me get one, I recorded one on my phone. There we go. It's around here somewhere. Maybe it's not. See, somebody messed up my phone already this morning. I don't know. Somebody, I've already been in several public places. It could have happened anywhere, right? All right. Well, this is the gist of it. As I was going through some of my inbox, cleaning things out, I came across a quote from N.T. Wright, which I took as a time of learning, in which he said, something like this, we think of Jesus being like God. It's the other way around. God is like Jesus. That opened up some things for me. Wow, that's right. Jesus is God, and the way God is like Jesus. When you look at Jesus, you're looking at God. So that was good. And then I also started in my own prayer time of reading the scripture. I started reading the Gospels each morning. And what I've done for a lot of years is just read the appointed readings for morning prayer, which is usually two, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. And I thought, well, okay, I could start learning more about Jesus if I read a portion of the gospel every morning. So I've been doing that as well. I want you to notice about what I've been doing, what Larry's example, Carol's example, and others, is that there was not an additional time put on the schedule to do any of this. It is developing a habit in your life, a habit of being like Jesus, a habit of doing things that Jesus did in the things that you are already doing. It's not that you do your whole stuff and now I schedule in these different things as habits. It's as you go. A very, very important shift in our thinking that as we go that way during this Lent and shift into that direction, what we begin in seeing is that we will know more of Jesus when Easter comes than we did on Ash Wednesday by doing those kinds of things. It's very different. So I encourage you to not worry about giving up chocolate or whatever, because that kind of self-renunciation can become very self-centered. How am I doing with my not doing such and so. But it's more of, how am I becoming more like Jesus? How's he doing that in me? How am I getting into the position for him to do that in my own life? And that's what these habits are about. And that's what we're called to. And particularly when we think about the reaching out part, we often think that that's for the professional, the ordained person, the missionary, and so forth. But you know, that whole concept is very recent in church history, where until maybe 400 years ago, pretty deep into the Reformation, mission was a description of the activity of the Trinity, the way God operated. And when we follow God, that's what we do. We just naturally normally do that as God would do that. And it began shifting where it became the activity of people going to other nations. And what's happening is that we find that there is so much opportunity for us to be sharing our faith in a very fruitful manner around us in our society today, that you don't have to go anywhere. In fact, the nations are coming here. You don't have to move. You don't have to pack up all your stuff. None of that. It's right here. And so what we do is put ourselves in the position to receive from Jesus so that we are transformed more and more into his likeness, which is what we're called to do. So what I want to do today is take a look at the last habit, which is being sent or sending, going into what God is already doing. And there's a way that you can take a look at that where it's not, you know, marking off how many people you witness to or cornering somebody in the laundromat after they put their clothes into the washer and you know they're not going to leave and then you've got them. You know, things, it's nothing like that. There is something about the way we follow Jesus in which we are sent, just as Larry was sent by doing what he always does into the lives of those in that group. So, how is that going to work? How does that work out? Well, one of the things that the prayer book tells us, the prayer book of the Episcopal Church, it is the duty of every Christian to work, pray, and give for the extension of the kingdom of God. To work, pray, and give for the extension of the kingdom of God. And we have an excellent idea of what it is to work, pray, and give for the church to be solvent or, you know, whatever. You fill in that blank. Able to go on, be sustained. We know what that is. But if we were to be interviewed by one of the news programs you like to watch, and somebody came up, a reporter came up, put a microphone up to you and said, what does it mean to work, pray, and give for the extension of the kingdom of God? What would you say? Well, we're not well versed in that. We're not as versed in that as we are about, you know, keeping the church going. And that's an important distinction. One of the reasons it's very important is that the church is not the kingdom of God. They are two separate things. But the church is that group that has the commission of Jesus to extend the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is the influence and presence of God wherever it may be. So if after the potluck today you go out somewhere and you stop on the way home and you are as you are and somebody is there and you say, how are you, or what's going on, or you just strike a conversation and that blesses them in some way, you've begun extending the kingdom of God. Even if that person never shows up at any church ever, you've extended the kingdom of God. And that's what we are called to do, to have that extension going on. And that's really the goal. That's what we are called to pursue all the time. And that's what it talks about In the first reading today that Jack read, the very last phrase of the last sentence, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call and of God in Christ Jesus. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. What pressing on toward the goal of the heavenly prize in Christ Jesus is this: your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we press on to that all the time. That would be our lifestyle. That would be the very thing that we are committed to, pursuing, putting ourselves in position to receive and walk in and do. See, what we want to do is to be extending the kingdom in such a way that the kingdom is actually extended. So the question comes up then, how do you know that you're extending the kingdom? How would you know that? In case that reporter comes up to you and puts a microphone up to you and says, well, how do you do that? How do you know? Well, I refer back to N.T. Wright one more time. And in various places where he has written, and by the way, I encourage you to read N.T. Wright as well as others. I still have a few copies of the list of books about Jesus here. If you want some, you can take along with you that we had last week. His description of the kingdom says there's really four kinds of dynamics that are going on. One is reconciliation, one is justice, one is beauty, one is wholeness. Reconciliation, justice, beauty, wholeness. Reconciliation. You know you have been extending the kingdom if you have been instrumental or even a small part of something where some relationships have been restored. If it's someone who has been at odds with you and that's been restored, the kingdom has been extended. If somehow you were a safety valve in a set of relationships and because of something that you did, prayed, was there, whatever, and those relationships are restored, the kingdom has been extended, and you've been a part of that. Very powerful things happen when that goes on. And as you know, that's the purpose of the exchange of the peace here on Sunday mornings, for that extension of the kingdom, for those relationships to be restored before coming to the table. You also can be extending the kingdom when it comes to justice. And that's where our prayer book, once again, expresses it very, very powerfully at our baptismal covenant. When that's been renewed, the leader will ask, will you seek to serve the dignity of every human being? Will you seek justice and serve the dignity of every human being? When you are doing that, you're extending the kingdom. When you're seeking justice in some manner or another, where some people who have not been treated as they needed to have been treated now come into the place where they are, and you've had some part in that, you have extended the kingdom. If there is somebody you know is not being treated with dignity, and you do something which helps that dignity to be restored in their life, you have extended the kingdom. If you take a step to provide for somebody who doesn't have something, you provide that, and then you take one more step where you do something to preserve the dignity of the rest of that family. If you give something for kids, and then you do something just on your own to preserve the dignity of the father of that family, or the provider, you've extended the kingdom two steps. Sometimes our charity has some pain attached to it for those around it. And when we see that and take those steps, we've extended the kingdom. Beauty is another one. When by pursuing beauty, you are extending the kingdom. A lot of that is in the arts, in music, graphic arts, all kinds of things like that. A good portion of what Carol does at the prison with art therapy. We're just, you know, some time together with those women who are about to be released from their prison terms. They're over. And they begin expressing the gift of God that was in them, the purpose for which they were created, and they've been expressing it artistically in some way. The kingdom of God is extended. All kinds of other things like that you could probably consider. Someone who simply notices the beauty of nature, the beauty of a sunset, for example, and starts taking a step closer to God, and you are there to encourage that in one way or another. The kingdom of God has been extended. All of that goes on. And finally, wholeness. Any time someone is made more whole, the kingdom of God is extended. You remember John the Baptist in prison asks his followers, go ask Jesus about, you know, if he's the Messiah. And Jesus says, well, you know, check it out. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the sick are healed, and so forth. Anytime anything like that happens, the kingdom of God is extended. Every piece of non-perishable food, canned or whatever, that you bring in and you put into the box in the vestibule, that then goes to the food pantry, is an extension of the kingdom of God, a sign of the day when there'll be no more hunger. That you're doing that, and you are sent to do that. In that case, you're sent, I don't know, where, to the grocery store, and you get extra, and then you're sent back here, and you're sent to the box, and in it goes. That's how that works. All those areas are the extension of the kingdom of God. All those areas are where we get into the position where we pay attention to what God is doing. All of those areas are things that we can begin to capture in our own lives as we develop these habits of blessing others, particularly the others who are just not Christians in one way or another, eating with others, listening to the Spirit of God, learning more and more and more about Jesus all the time, and then being sent. One of the things that that does, among many others, is that it keeps us from the temptation, which can be very strong sometimes, to look at the gospel as if it's a commodity, a consumer product. Here, this is what we do. And I think you'll like it a great deal. And if you come and take part in it, you'll like it a great deal too. That's a consumer product. What we are doing is putting ourselves into the position to be completely transformed by Jesus all the time. Become more and more and more like Him every day of our lives. To be transformed in our thinking as well as in our action. So that we are extenders of the kingdom of God, and that wherever we go, we see the influence and healing and grace and beauty and life and reconciliation and wholeness of Jesus around us all the time. In fact, what we begin seeing is where God is already doing that, and we move towards it. Every time we move towards it, we see more of Jesus than we saw before. So this is what I'm hoping you might be able to do. See if you can take it up somehow or another. If not, it's okay. But see if you can do this. At the end of the day or the end of the week or whenever you think of it, look back on a few days and see where you were sent. Where you actually said, yes, I'll go and do that. I'll be part of that. Where you were extending the kingdom of God. In any of those ways. And you might ask the Spirit of God to show that to you. Well, you're thinking, I mean, I don't know. I can't remember those four categories we had in that sermon. But where, Spirit of God, where was I extending the kingdom today? Where did you think I was doing that? And then see if you jot it down, record it on your phone, voice recording, whatever. Not so that you have a good score, so that you begin to see how you're actually responding to the presence of Jesus in a way that is right for you, in a way that works for you, in a way that he's calling you to move ahead and do that. Okay? Do you have any questions about any of this? Okay. Because that's the fifth habit that I've put before you. And if you forget what they are, you might remember the name, or the word bells, B-E-L-L-S, bless, eat, listen, learn, send. And see if you can go with that. If you want the resource that I used to learn more about this, I can make sure that you get it. I have an electronic version of it that I can just pass on to you as well. Just let me know about that. Okay, let's stand. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that you've done to draw us closer to you. And we want you to know, where you go, we will go, for the glory of your name. Amen.